pray that God will bless even that hymn to our hearts. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles, please, to the first book of Samuel for our scripture reading. And we're going to look at chapter 29 and 30. But we're reading from chapter 29, first of all. First Samuel, chapter 29, beginning our reading at the first verse of the chapter. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. The lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews hear?" And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, "Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years, and I found no fault in him, since he fell unto me unto this day?" And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the princes of the Philistines said unto him, "Make this fellow return, that we may go again to this place which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang one to another in dances, saying, 'Saul slew his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Then Achish called David and said unto him, "Surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight, for I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favour thee not. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." And David said unto Achish, "But what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant, so long as I've been with thee unto this day, that I may not go to fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" And Achish answered and said to David, "I know that thou art good in my sight, as an angel of God, notwithstanding the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle.' Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee, and as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelites, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered, "Pursue thou, for thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. And David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, and those that were left behind stead. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And we'll end our reading there, knowing that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together, please, at the throne of grace, and let's just stand, please, for a moment's prayer. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we turn to thee in our Saviour's precious name afresh today. We do thank thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee for the encouragement that we find as we look to thee in times of need, in times of distress, in times of difficulty. We thank thee that there's a God who is there to help and to comfort and support and to strengthen. We pray that we might be strengthened with mind and the inner man today, and that thy blessing would be upon the precious word of God. Be with us, bless and help us, we pray. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text is from verse 6 there of the 30th chapter at the end, where it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Now, David is a man who has a checkered history. There were many ups in his life. We think of how he was anointed as the king of Israel. We think before that how he had defeated the lion and the bear. And then he had defeated the great Philistine Goliath and had delivered his people at that time. And then, of course, he was anointed king of Israel and brought into the king's house, married the king's daughter. There were many blessings in the life of David. But there were also many discouragements. There were many downs. We remember how that in his own family, he was almost accounted as nothing when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. Jesse didn't even think about David. After all the other sons had been rejected, it didn't even seem to occur to him that there was one left, David, who was out in the field. And then we think of how the spirit of jealousy came over Saul, and how David was hunted and hounded through the countryside and treated as a bitter enemy. And we think of Saul's jealous wrath, David and his men. And there was a band of ragtag warriors that were attached to David, and they became the offscouring of Israel. But not only had he to flee for his life, but we find that eventually the place of refuge that he found was amongst the Philistines, the people whose champion he had bested in the form of Goliath. And he and his band of disenchanted loyalists there were in the land of their bitterest and fiercest enemies. And such was the place where David had got himself into, that in this portion of scripture we find him going out to fight against Israel. He is going out to fight against Saul and fight against his own people with the Philistines. He is amongst the army of Achish, the Philistine. But we find that the Philistine lords are suspicious. And they say, "Well, how can we have these Israelites in our army? We're fighting against Israel. Here is David, of whom it was said that he slew his 10,000s. And of course, the 10,000s that he slew were mostly Philistines. So not unnaturally, the Philistine lords were a little bit suspicious about David. And Achish really defended them at the start. But under the pressure of the lords of the Philistines, he said to David and his men, "I think we need to send you home." And so David and his men made their way home from the battlefield, And they came to Ziklag. Ziklag had been given to David and to his men by the Philistine lord, or the Philistine king Achish. And they make their way home, only to find that their town had been devastated by the Amalekites. There had been an Amalekite attack, and the people had been taken captive, and their wives and their children and all that they had had been taken into captivity by these Amalekites. Now you can imagine what that did amongst the men. There they were, coming home from the battlefield, looking forward to the comforts of home, to meeting their families again, and they are absolutely incensed and devastated. It says that they weep until they can weep no more, and they are there in the midst. We can only imagine how they feel as their whole family has been taken from them into captivity. They're maybe imagining what might be taking place with their families, and they become mad with David, speak about stoning David, and David is in a very desperate situation indeed. But in the midst of all this, we're told that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In the midst of this devastating situation, you think of how hard it was. You think of how his own men were turning against him. And yet, here's a man who, in the midst of devastation and in the midst of very trying circumstances, found a way of relief. It says he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And maybe I'm talking to somebody today, and you are going through very trying circumstances. You are facing the burden and heat of the day, and maybe at times you wonder how you can put up with this. Sometimes people in distress will turn away from God. Sometimes people will collapse and break down. Sometimes people in distress and anxiety will just say, well, I will grin and bear it. Is that all that we can do in the midst of the trials and burdens and heat of the day? Is all the solution that we can give is to grin and bear it? Well, I want you to see what David did. And of course, it is a template, and it's here in order for us to learn how to deal with the difficulties and the trials and the afflictions that come upon us in life. We need, like David, to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And so for a few minutes just this morning, I want us just to think about David's response here to the burning of Ziklag. The first thing I think that we should notice is his sorrow. We find here that he has come home, he's discovered that his home is destroyed, that his family and the families of his men are taken away. Here is the, we could say, is the pinnacle of sorrows. It's okay when we have to endure, but oftentimes when the family is afflicted and when the family is affected, maybe sometimes that is the worst sorrow of all. And I want you to think about the circumstances that caused his sorrow. If you look at the chapter 29, you'll see that David and his men had been part of this Philistine army, and they had been questioned by the Philistine lords. The Philistine lords remembered that he had been the slayer of Goliath and the slayer of many before, and they say to Achish, the king of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews here? What do these Hebrews here?" And there's this whole question about David. As we say, you can understand why it is that they are questioning a band of Israelites in the midst of the army when they're attacking Israel. They are afraid that these people may turn upon them, that they might slay them, and that there might be a mole in the midst of the army, as it were. So they are very suspicious. But of course, that probably is only the tip of the iceberg. You can imagine what kind of cold reception they were having in the army. You can imagine an army going out to fight against an enemy,
And some of that enemy nation or people or those who are the same as the enemy that they're attacking are in the midst of them. They were probably getting cold looks, and maybe even the tense situation was growing, and they were probably wondering before this how long they could stay in the midst. And of course there is great tenseness, and there's great the fears are heightened when you're about to face into a battle. But I want you to see, now he is sent home. But what hits him now? Well, you'll see that there is destruction. Look at verse 3 of chapter 30. It says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." So all their possessions are burned. Probably some of these men had taken pride in their homes and sought to make it a place of comfort for their families and tried to look after their families. And all of their works and all of their efforts in all of these things now were destroyed. And you think of the little children. You think of the fact that they're fearful for their families. They know that their families are going to be put into slavery. Or worse, they are fearful of what's going to happen here in the midst of all of this. And they are facing destruction. And they are facing ruin in their lives. Their lives that they had counted on and the things that they had depended upon for their lives now were robbed from them. Maybe I'm talking to somebody here today, and in many ways your life has been ruined. We think of the lockdown and all the consequences that are flowing from the lockdown, and now that people are coming out of the furlough, and maybe there are many jobs that are going to be lost, or maybe you're fearful for your job or fearful for your situation, or things maybe have become sour, or things are different for you. Maybe it is that the job that you're in has sort of changed in the way that it works, and maybe you're not happy and you're finding difficulty in the midst of all of these things. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some other circumstance that you are facing. Oh, how often it is that life brings those trials. The very foundations that we were depending upon, sometimes they're shaken and shaken to the very core. And maybe I'm speaking to somebody today, and that's the situation with you. There was destruction, but then also there was desolation. Look at verse 4. It says, Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. So here they are, desolated. They weep so much that they can weep no more. Their women are captured, their children are captured, and they are just desolated by what has taken place. And these men, of course, were men that were used to the roughness of life. They had been those that had fled with David, who had been attached to David when he had been dwelling in the rocks and mountains of En-Gedi, or when he had been fleeing from the armies and from the inquiries of King Saul. So they knew what it was to know hardship. They knew what it was to know difficulty. But again, we see that sometimes there comes those difficulties that just knock us down. Those things that come as a body blow or a hammer blow. And maybe it's troubles in the family, maybe it's illness, maybe it's something else. Maybe it is that the devil has taken your family captive at his will. Here were families that were taken captive. And of course the devil can make it seem so alluring in the world. And the devil can capture our families, or capture our loved ones, or capture the situation. And maybe we had so much hope for our families and for our loved ones, but now the devil has taken them captive at his will. And maybe at times you have wept until you can weep no more. Oh, where is absolute desolation. And then not only was there destruction and desolation, there's disappointment. Because notice David faces criticism. Look at verse 6. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And again, of course, there's a natural reaction here. People need somebody to blame, particularly in this day and generation. And it's usually the government or the people that are in charge. And David, of course, had been the one who had led them up north into the battle. He hadn't thought to leave some behind to protect the families and to protect the village. No doubt he thought that there wasn't much danger of attack. And maybe now the people are saying, David has done wrong. David should have left some of the army behind, some of the men behind, to protect the families and protect all that were there. If David hadn't led us up north with our Philistine enemies, this wouldn't have happened. But of course there was maybe a little bit of truth in that. And maybe David was blaming himself. Maybe David knew that perhaps there were things that he should have done different. And he's greatly distressed. And sometimes, you know, we recognize that there are things that we could have done differently. Maybe our actions have led to the situation that we are in. Maybe it was something that we did that led to the situation that we are facing. Sometimes it's not. Maybe it's just something that comes upon us. But you know, here was this man, and he is facing the disappointment that even his friends, these loyal men, these men that had followed him into the caves and into the mountains, these men that had followed him right down into the heart of the Philistine territory, even they now are turning against him. And my, how great a situation he is in, a desperate situation that he is in. Maybe today you're facing disappointment. Not only was there disappointment, of course, there's danger. Because not only were they blaming David, but it says they were about to stone him. His life was in danger. And of course, the emotions here are stirred. Of course, when it comes to our family, or comes maybe to something that we've invested in, maybe even the church or something like that, when things are difficult and when things are hard, well, it brings out a deep reaction within us, because we care. We care about our families. We care about our communities. We care about our loved ones. And therefore, when things are hard and when things are difficult, it hits us deeply. It hits us where we really feel it. And difficulty here is piled upon difficulty here. And David is in great distress. And the word distress that is used there in the text is a word that means shut in or straitened. He felt as if there was no way out. He felt that he was in a situation that he didn't know how to get out of. He didn't know what way to turn, or what to do, or how to react. But it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When he didn't know what to do, or how to react, or how to go, or what to say, the one to whom he could go in his time of need was to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We see the circumstances that caused him sorrow. But also I want you to think about the compromise that caused him sorrow. Because if you read 1 Samuel chapter 27 and look at verse 8, we read how David got himself in amongst the Philistines and into Ziklag in the first place. It says in 1 Samuel 27, and look at verse 8, it says, and David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gerizzites and the Amalekites. Now, Here's how he got himself into this situation. He stirred the Amalekites. He has attacked the Amalekites in the first place. But if you look at chapter 1, or verse 1 of this chapter, you will find that David's actions, he has not sought the Lord. Look at verse 1. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And after that, he goes down into the land of the Philistines, and he attacks and stirs up the Amalekites. But what I want you to notice about that verse is that there is no mention of the Lord. It says, and David said in his heart. David said in his heart. He didn't bring it to the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord, is this, Lord, what you want me to do? He seems to have left the habit of former days, whereby in everything that he had done, he had sought the face of God. He's not seeking the face of God now, and he goes down amongst the enemies of God's people and gets drawn in and goes out to fight with the Philistines, or for the Philistines, and he stirs up the Amalekites. And of course, it's the Amalekites now who have come on a revenge mission to take Ziklag. So it is David's compromise and David's failure to seek the Lord that has led to all of these things. When the Philistines, Lord, said, what do these Hebrews hear? They asked it in an antagonistic way, but it was a good question. What was David doing there? What was David doing amongst the heathen? What was he doing in Ziklag? Did he not trust the Lord who had protected him in time gone by to protect him now? And really, in many ways, some of these things were David's fault. Were David's fault. And I say to you, not all of the trials and difficulties that we face are because of our fault. But sometimes it is. Sometimes we have failed to seek the Lord. And sometimes we have walked in our own course and by our, and that always leads to disaster. And it always leads to trials. And always leads to despair. We see here in this portion of scripture something of David's sorrow. But then I want you to notice something else. I want you to see his solace. We have talked about the despair. We have thought about how he was straitened and shut in and didn't know what to do. But then it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. The word encouraged there that is used about 400 times in the Old Testament, and it is translated sometimes in different ways. For example, we're told about Jacob in Genesis 48 and verse 2 that he strengthened himself. That's the same word that is used here, that he encouraged himself. So we could say that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He was weak. He had taken a body blow. He probably, the feet had gone from beneath him, but he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 20, we have another instance of the same word in the book of Numbers chapter 13. And if you look at verse 20, it says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be food, wood therein or not, and that ye be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So God says, be of good courage. That's the same word. Be of good courage. Encourage yourself. Take courage. Strengthen yourself. That's the thought beneath us. When they might have sunk down, when they might have been overwhelmed, when they might have said, I can't do this, they took courage and went forward. David here, as we say, had taken the body blow. His wife wives, his family had been taken from him. He is in the very depths of despair. They have wept until they can weep no more. But he finds strength in the Lord his God. Again, in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 8, we're told about King Asa. And it says, "Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And it says that when Asa heard the word, it says that when Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. He took courage and he took action. The courage that he took, the strength that he received, enabled him to do something. And that's what happened when David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was strengthened to take action. But what does it mean that David encouraged himself in the Lord? How did he encourage himself in the Lord? Well, I think that we can see that David encouraged himself in the person of the Lord. He looked to the Lord himself. He speaks about God as his Lord. It says that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, we think of the same psalmist, and he spoke of how the Lord is my shepherd. And he encouraged himself in the person of God, the one who is his shepherd, his Lord, his help, his stronghold, his strength in the midst of trouble. He encouraged himself in the person of the Lord. And thank God there's one to whom we can go today, who said he would never leave us or forsake us. The Bible says the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We encourage ourselves in the person of our God. We also encourage ourselves in the purpose of God. You see, David knew that God had a purpose for him. David knew that he had been anointed king. He had not become king as yet. God had given him a promise that there would not be one from his line that would perish from off the throne of Israel, or at least that there would always be one of David's line who would be upon the throne of Israel. So David knew that this was going to take place. He believed in the purpose of God. Do you believe that God has a purpose for his church? Do you believe that God has a purpose for the local church, for the assembly of God's people? Has he a purpose for us? Well, what we need to do is strengthen ourselves, not to fall down and faint under the onslaughts that we face, but what we need to remember is that God has a purpose for his people. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." David encouraged himself in the purpose of God, and so can we. Then David encouraged himself in the promises of God. He would have remembered another time when he needed courage and when he needed strength, when Saul was pursuing him. And we're told in 1 Samuel 23 and 16, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God." How did Jonathan strengthen David's hand in God? Well, we're told in verse 17 of the same chapter, "And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth." So he knew that God had promised that David would be king, and he depended upon the promises. Oh, we can stand upon the promises of Christ our King today. Something else, David encouraged himself in the provision of God. David had a history of deliverances. He'd been delivered out of the paw of the bear and of the lion. He'd been delivered out of the hand of Goliath. He had been delivered out of the hand of Saul and his men when they had been seeking him. He had been delivered out of the hand of Achish the king on many occasions. So why did he in any way begin to think that God would let him down now? Oh, God has blessed us in so many ways. God has had his hand upon us and upon the hand of the, or upon the head of this congregation down through the years. God has supplied our need and met us at the point of our need. Why would God forsake us now? Is it not the same God that we have followed and the same God that we have worshipped down through the years? We see his solace. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But one more thing I want you to see, and I see the time, and we'll try and make it short. I want you to see his struggle. It says that David encouraged himself. Now, there is an element of God giving the courage, and we'll see that later on here just in a wee minute, that David acknowledged that it was God who had encouraged him. But I want you to notice that there is a reflexive in this, the way that the Hebrew is written here. In other words, you can see that David is involved in this. David encouraged himself. David did the encouraging. If David had sunk down under the weight of all of this and just pulled the clothes over his head and said, "I can't come out," there would have been no encouragement. There would have been no strengthening. David had to encourage himself. How did he do that? He did it by seeking the face of God in prayer. You'll notice there in verse 7, it says, "And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." Now the ephod was the high priestly garment in which there were the mysterious stones, the Urim and the Thummim. It was the means by which they sought the will of God. You remember what I said, that David had come down into the land of the Philistines and he hadn't sought God? Well, suddenly now, in the midst of his difficulty, in the depths of his despair, what is the first thing that David thinks about? The Lord. I need to ask the Lord. I need to ask his will. I need to ask what he wants me to do. And so there is the seeking of God. And he comes and he seeks the Lord in prayer. Not only does he seek the Lord in prayer, but he submits to the Lord in practice. I want you to see, he did things God's way. Look at verse 8. The Lord says, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail cover all." And we find that David does pursue them at the will and plan of God. And what happens? It says that they recovered all. Now, I'm trying to cut this down, but you can see in the midst of all of that, they met an Egyptian. If they hadn't met the Egyptian, they wouldn't have found the Amalekites. And if they hadn't found the Amalekites, they wouldn't have recovered all of the people. There seemed to be a lot of coincidences, in inverted commas, going on. It weren't coincidences. God was directing. Yes, David had to recover all. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. But God was overruling in the circumstances. There are things that we need to do. There is a determination that we need to be obedient. There is a desire to seek the face of God, to know his will. But you know, as we do so, as we do seek the face of God, then he says, "We will recover all." And the Lord is able to give back the years that the locusts have eaten. He will recover all. So let's encourage ourselves in the Lord our God today. And let's, whatever the circumstances and the difficulties and the trials and the afflictions, remember that there's a God in heaven, a God who cares, a God who understands, and a God who wants to meet us at the point of our need. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee today for thy precious word. We thank thee for the encouragement that David had in the Lord his God. We pray that thou wouldst encourage us afresh today in the things of God. And we pray that we might be drawn nearer to thee and nearer to thy precious wounded side. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Part us in thy fear and blessing. Bless those that go their separate ways. And we pray that thou wouldst be with us around thy table now. For it is in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things.